And welcome into a special Tuesday breaking news edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. The Milwaukee Bucks are making moves. This offseason, you knew, was going to be an interesting one for the Bucks. And in the overnight hours, in a matter of seemingly just minutes, the Bucks completely remade their entire look, but they did it without touching any of their core players. Jrue Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic, they're both coming to the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo hopefully is going to wind up staying long term with the Bucks, because that's what was the impetus for the moves that were made by John Horst. Because the last 2 years of the chatter around the NBA is all about Giannis. Giannis should walk. He should go to the Lakers. He should go to the Clippers. He should go to the Warriors. Some have even suggested going to the Knicks. But anywhere but Milwaukee. The Buck. Why would the Bucks be able to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo? Tiny Milwaukee, for years, the Siberia of the NBA, but things have changed, which we'll get to. To his credit, Giannis Antetokounmpo has resisted those outside pushes away from the only team and really the only American city that he's ever known and lived in. After all, Milwaukee was the city that his entire family, mom, dad, two younger brothers, all moved to from Athens when Giannis was drafted at number 15 overall in 2013. There's been a lot of change in those 7-plus years. Giannis's father, you might recall, passed away of a heart attack a few years ago. His younger brothers, Alex and Kostas, both of whom are graduates of Dominican High School, they're now playing pro ball. Giannis became a father less than a year ago. The Bucks owners and facilities have all changed. And Giannis has won back-to-back MVP awards. All of that has changed in the last 7 years. What hasn't changed is the Bucks still have not made an appearance in the NBA Finals. I said for years on the radio, if you looked at the Bucks situation as a member team of the NBA, they were the last resort for most players. Milwaukee is small. Milwaukee is cold. Milwaukee doesn't have the nightlife that, say, a Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, or Miami have, making it less attractive to young NBA players. The facilities were, if not the worst, among the worst in the NBA. The Bradley Center was the oldest non-renovated arena in the league. The Cousins Center was, I think it started out as a high school, then it was turned into a monastery, but this was a building from the 1940s that had a roof that leaked. The Bucks had literally the worst facilities in the NBA. They were barely an NBA franchise, it seemed. They were the worst thing that you can be. There's an adage in sports that the worst thing that you can be is a perennial loser. No, the worst thing you can be is irrelevant, and the Bucks were irrelevant for about 30 years. I'm so conflicted about the ownership, stewardship of Herb Cole. Because on one hand, the Milwaukee Bucks would not be the Milwaukee Bucks if it weren't for Herb Cole. That is not in dispute. The Bucks would have gone somewhere else, whether it was Minneapolis in 1985, whether it was Las Vegas in 2003. That's what Michael Jordan's plan was. The Bucks would not be in Milwaukee if it were not for Herb Cole. Fact. Here's the other fact. The Bucks slipped into complete NBA irrelevancy under Herb Cole. He wouldn't spend the money that was necessary to build and maintain a championship-type contender. They had a shot in 2001, and then Herb started letting others around him give away the store. You gave away Ray Allen, which was a trade that set the buck. Ray Allen in his prime, Hall of Famer Ray Allen in his prime. You gave him away for some trinkets, and that set the franchise back maybe a decade and a half. But you needed to get lucky, because free agents weren't going to come to Milwaukee. Or at least top free agents weren't going to come to Milwaukee. Last resort, okay, if nobody else will sign me, I'll come to Milwaukee. Free agents would come to Milwaukee. But that was about it. You had to get lucky. The Bucks got lucky. Now, they created some of their own luck because they went over to Greece and they scouted this lanky, raw Greek kid named Giannis. But they got lucky in the sense that 14 teams passed on him in the 2013 NBA draft. That's the luck that I had for years been talking about. The Bucks have to get lucky. If they're going to crawl out of this irrelevancy, they need to get lucky. They also got lucky when Herb Cole, who I didn't think would ever sell the team, I thought he'd still be owning the team. Herb Cole is 84, 85, 86 years old. I thought he'd hang on to it until he died. Instead, he saw the handwriting on the wall and said, I need to get out. I need somebody else to take over the stewardship of this franchise. And he found two guys in Mark Lazary and Wes Edens who promised to keep the team in Milwaukee and build the team a new arena. So the chips were starting to fall into place. But you have this asset of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have owners with deep pockets that are willing to spend whatever it takes to keep Giannis with a supermax. They're not going to try to nickel and dime him, kind of like, you know, the Bucks. They didn't want to pay Ray Allen, so that's why they shipped him off to the Seattle Supersonics for a 20-game rental of Gary Payton, in essence. But you've got Lazary and Edens, who will spend the money necessary to keep Giannis in a supermax. And then a couple of weeks ago, Giannis, meeting with team ownership and general manager John Horst, kind of laid it out. Talked about his teammates. I love these guys, and I love Milwaukee, but this roster needs some upgrades. It's hard to argue with him. This was a team that should have, and you know, look, they were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs the last 2 years, and they didn't make an NBA Finals appearance. Now, what happened in the bubble, I think that a lot of teams lost focus in the bubble, but I think the Bucks also ran out of gas in the bubble. And you look at what happened the year prior to that when the Toronto Raptors came in and wound up winning their only NBA championship, and they wound up losing Kawhi Leonard in the process, but they still had that trophy. Nobody can ever take away that trophy from the Toronto Raptors. They pushed their chips into the middle of the table, and that's how they won. So this meeting a couple of weeks ago, Giannis, not throwing anybody under the bus, according to reports, but look, this roster does need some upgrades. I want to stay. Make me want to stay. Help me help you. It also didn't help that his younger brother, Kostas, just got a ring with the Lakers. Now, he's a role player. He's bounced, you know, back and forth between the G League, but Kostas is going to come back to Dominican High School, talk to his former schoolmates and his former teachers, and he's going to be wearing a ring that Giannis doesn't have. He's the first, Kostas Antetokounmpo, he is the first NBA champion in the family, and everyone on the outside is telling Giannis to go. But again, he wants to stay. He just needs to be incentivized to stay beyond the money, because no matter where he goes, he's going to be rich. I don't know, and it, you know, look, I don't know what you can do with $400 million that you can't do with $300 million. But that's just me. But legacies are made in the postseason, and right now Giannis doesn't have a postseason legacy. More alarmingly, last week Giannis did an interview in Sweden, of all places, in which he was asked on whether or not he intends to sign the Supermax extension with the Bucks. They can offer him a 5-year, $220 million Supermax deal ahead of his 2021 free agency that is scheduled right now, and then he would be a free agent for the entire league. This is what Giannis's quote was. I do not know what the plan is. It depends on what decisions they make, end quote. I'm sorry, what? Giannis has always said that he wants to stay here. But he doesn't want to stay here at any cost. He doesn't want to stay here at the cost of his legacy, and I don't blame him for that. So this is all leading up to the trades that were made late Monday night by John Horst. That's a bit of a preamble, and I will admit that that's a long way to go from 2013 when Giannis was drafted to today. But I think that background is important because that's what led up to what we saw last night. And that quote, I do not know what the plan is. It depends on what decisions they make. That's a shot across the bow. That's upgrade this roster. Because if you don't, I'm going to go all Kareem on you. And older Bucks fans know exactly what I'm talking about. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went to the Bucks, and he got vilified for it for many, many years. I thought unfairly. But he went to the Bucks 1 year before his free agency and said, look, this is a rebuilding team. Oscar Robertson is gone. The pieces from the 1971 championship team are gone, and I don't want to be part of a rebuild. And I think that's fair for somebody who, in Kareem's case, won three NBA MVP awards. Giannis has now won two of them. No MVP wants to be part of a rebuild. No MVP should need to be a part of a rebuild. You won the MVP because you were on a contending team. And champions want to play, not necessarily with guys that will guarantee you a championship, but guys that will put you in a position to help you win that championship. So late Monday night, the Bucks made a pair of huge decisions that they hope will signal to Giannis that they're serious about winning an NBA championship. The first shoe to drop was trading for Drew Holiday in exchange for Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks to the New Orleans Pelicans. Then they do a sign-and-trade with the Sacramento Kings that land them Bogdan Bogdanovic for Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, and DJ Wilson going back to Sacramento. These are moves the Bucks had to make because the players around Giannis, the role players, had gotten stagnant as a group. Bledsoe is a great defender, but he disappeared at times, namely the playoffs. So you spin him off for Drew Holiday, who's at least as good of a defender as Bledsoe. And I like Drew Bledsoe. I don't have a problem with Drew Bledsoe, except for the fact that, again, he would disappear at times. But you bring in Drew Holiday, who is an upgrade both defensively, to a certain extent. He's at least as good of a defender as Bledsoe. It's not a knock on Bledsoe's defense. I think he's very good. But he's also got better size, and he's got better offense. He can create. He can shoot. He and Giannis and Chris Middleton, they should be able to play well off of each other. Then there's Bogdanovic, who Bucks fans should remember well enough.
Let's see who they're going to try to break free. It's Bogdanovic, corner, wide open, up.
But it's not just a thing that he did against the Bucks.
1.6 left to play. Ingles trying to get it in. Having trouble. Bogdanovic, tough shot. He went in! The Utah Jazz have won it! Bojan Bogdanovic with only his second three-pointer of the game, and it never touched the iron.
Bielitsa looking, looking, looking. Bogdanovic, 3 seconds. Bogey for the win!
Bogdanovic, clutch, another solid shooter who averaged 15 points per game and shot over 37% from beyond the arc last season. Going into some advanced metrics per NBA.com, last year Bogdanovic attempted 32 three-pointers, just as many as James Harden, in clutch time, which the league defines as games within 5 points with 5 minutes or fewer to play. Harden made 25% of his defined clutch threes, 25%. Bogdanovic made 37.5% of his. That's the third best percentage in the league for anyone who tried over 30 such shots. So now let's look at what the Bucks gave up. Role players mostly, and draft picks. Again, if you're going to the trades individually, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, going to New Orleans, Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, DJ Wilson to Sacramento. So basically role players and draft picks. There is no bigger crapshoot in the NBA than draft picks. And I think that those draft picks, they sent alarm bells going up around southeastern Wisconsin. But let's take a look at how the Bucks have drafted in the first round since Giannis. Dante DiVincenzo, obviously part of the trade last night. DJ Wilson, also part of the trade last night as well. So they've both been dealt. I don't know that they're ever going to be impact players on a championship caliber team in the NBA. I don't think either one will be. Thon Maker, traded. Never really developed into what Kevin Garnett swore he would be, and that's an MVP caliber type of player. That's obviously not going to happen with Thon Maker. First round pick a few years ago was Rashad Vaughn. Remember him? Probably not. He hasn't played in the NBA since 2018. He now plays in Europe. And then, right after Giannis, the guy who the Bucks, I wouldn't say tanked the 2014 season for, the 2013-2014 season for, but they only won 15 games, they wound up drafting Jabari Parker at number two overall. And Jabari Parker, yes, he's gotten hurt and he's had terrible ACL injuries, and that's awful for his career. But the only way to describe Jabari Parker is someone who's been a bust. He's bounced around the NBA. I hope for his sake that, you know, he can get his career back together. But I don't know that I ever see him being anything more than a role player, and he was supposed to be a perennial all-star. And obviously that's not going to happen. So those are the players that they drafted in the first round before Giannis, or after Giannis, I should say. Before Giannis, just the handful of seasons prior to Giannis being drafted, John Henson, who is a contributor, Jimmer Fredette, who they traded on draft day, Larry Sanders, who is a head case, talented, but a head case, Brandon Jennings, who 3 weeks into his NBA career went off for 55 and never came close to replicating that. Joe Alexander, a complete bust. And remember Ejion Leon? He was supposed to be the next Yao Ming. Didn't happen. My point is, first-round draft picks in the NBA, especially for whatever reason being drafted by Milwaukee, it's an absolute crapshoot. So if you want to trade all of those first-round draft picks, knock yourself out. I'm fine with that. Trade them away because you're pushing right now your chips into the middle of the table. You're doing what Toronto did a couple of years ago when they had an inkling. They thought that, you know, maybe if you get Kawhi Leonard to come to Toronto, you win a championship, maybe you can entice him to stay. But even if you don't, you still have that trophy. Even if they win a championship and leave, you still have the Larry O'Brien, and that's exactly what happened. But here's what the Bucks didn't have to do. They didn't have to touch their core. They didn't have to trade away Brooke Lopez or Chris Middleton. They're still here. They get an upgraded point guard. They get a shooting big who's clutch. So you have a starting five of Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Bogdanovich, and Lopez. Good grief. I love this move. Now, literally and figuratively, though, the ball is in Giannis's corner. He asked for these upgrades, and damn it, he got these upgrades. Right now, and I know I feel like I said this a year ago, and I did, but things are changing. James Harden wants to play for the Brooklyn Nets, and now Kevin Durant's healthy. And so I think Brooklyn is going to certainly be an absolute contender, but you have to look at Milwaukee, Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, Bogdanovich, Lopez. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's going to be fun at Fiserv Forum when we can all gather in mass once again. But Giannis has to do his part. The Bucks have done their part. Giannis asked for upgrades, and damn it, Giannis got some upgrades for this roster. So now it's up to him. John Horst has done his job, and he has done it well. That's how you win the NBA Executive of the Year. And that's, you know, one of the trophies that sits on his mantle. But he wants the Larry O'Brien. And I think everybody in Milwaukee wants the Larry O'Brien. This is the year. Chips in the middle of the table. Let's go. I can't wait for training camp to start. I can't wait for the season to start. I think this is going to be a special one for the Bucks. And hopefully, again, we can all gather and watch Bucks basketball again sooner rather than later. All right, this has been a special edition, breaking news edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We will be back with an Anything Goes Wednesday tomorrow, and then a football preview coming up on Friday as well. Thanks for joining us. By the way, we've got a new website address, very simply, just DougRussellPod.com. And you can find all of our back episodes that are available to you for free download there as well. Would love to hear from you. Feel free to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and say nice things about us because we like that. Anyway, have a great Tuesday. It's a good day if you're a Bucks fan. Trust me, believe me on this one. It's an exciting time to be a Milwaukee Bucks fan. We will talk to you soon right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.